Let's kick it. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, special edition, wrapping up everything from Washington, D.C. and the World Cup draw this afternoon. It felt like the draw took way longer than it needed to actually get the ping pong balls out of the buckets and get us into these groups. But welcome to FIFA. Welcome to the spectacle. Could you imagine if the NCAA tournament selection show was like this and you had the Village People performing at the end of it to celebrate? Luckily, you don't have to deal with that. We did today, but it ended up being a really good day for the U.S. men's national team. It ended up being a really good day for a few other contenders in this tournament. I think for the most part, you avoided a group of death, although one of the contenders is in what's likely the most difficult group that does exist. Let's start with the local side of things. Let's start with the U.S. men's national team. They are the top seed in Group D, and they are in a group with Paraguay, with Australia, and with a European playoff winner that will be one of Turkey, Slovakia, Kosovo, or Romania. A lot of the hype coming into the draw was about who was actually selecting the ping pong balls out of the buckets. And Pot 2, the second best group of teams. This is the one that was going to turn it for a lot of the top seeds. Shaquille O'Neal was pulling out the ping pong balls out of this bucket. And there were headlines all over the world in Croatia, in Colombia, in other countries this morning about Shaquille O'Neal holds our fate for the World Cup and what team he ends up pulling for you. Look, Shaquille O'Neal did the U.S. a big solid, pulling out Australia, who is the lowest ranked team out of Pot 2. Paraguay comes out of Pot 3, and that's a team that the U.S. just beat recently. Miguel Almiron, he will face the U.S. in the World Cup. These games are going to be out on the West Coast in Seattle and in Los Angeles for the U.S. But this is a group with teams that you're not really all that afraid of. I think if you're looking for a drawback for this group, for the U.S., there's not a quote, easy game in it. I think Paraguay is competitive. Australia is competitive. Probably going to be Turkey out of the playoff game. Turkey is competitive, but I think the U.S. will be favored in every single one of those. I think the U.S. is the favorite to win this group. And Mauricio Pochettino, I don't think was able to hide his happiness about the draw. He said all the things that he needs to say, but here's what he said to the crew on Fox after the U.S.'s draw.
Yes, I think the reaction is with expectation, no? See how we are going to arrive in 6 months, but already we know. We play recently with again Paraguay in Philadelphia and in Denver again Australia. We already the register and everything that we know is very fresh. And then the four that is going to see one of a very good team in from Europe. I think we need to be optimistic. I think we need to keep pushing, keep evolving. But I think at the moment what we can say is only analyze the teams and see what is going on in a few months.
But I see the smile on your face. It feels like you're somewhat happy with this draw.
No. I think we need to respect all the opponent, and I think all is going to be difficult. We know very well Paraguay that was doing so well in the qualification in South America. Australia, until we play in Denver, were unbeaten for 12, 13 games. And of course, that we are going to see which is another team that is going to join us. But I think full respect. But yes, believing that we can go through, but we need to perform, we need to evolve and to be better every time that we will be together.
The other element to the U.S. group that I really like is the way the schedule works out. You see Paraguay in game one at SoFi Stadium in L.A., then you see Australia in game two in Seattle, and then you come back and you play that European playoff winner in game three. I think getting the two teams that you have seen recently in games one and two helps you a little bit in preparation, gives you a lot of confidence, and the U.S. is installed as the favorite in Group D. Here's Christian Pulisic talking about his thoughts after the draw.
I think we can go into it with a good feeling. Obviously, we've played against these teams recently, like you said, which is, not always the case. So we know more or less yeah, what they're going to look like, and we know they're tough opponents as well. We're not taking anyone lightly. I think they're all going to be tough games, but I think it's great that we have that experience. Obviously, they played against us too, so we're on the same boat. But it's cool. It's cool that those kind of friendlies and some of the other ones, were able to prepare us for some of the teams we're actually going to play.
You had a little bit of a pull apart brawl at the end of the U.S. Paraguay game in a friendly here recently. I think that's a good thing, by the way. I think it helps bring this team together. So that game could have a little bit of extra spice. I want to remind everybody of something that Gustavo Alfaro, the manager for Paraguay, said after that game. He didn't say it in English to the domestic broadcasters. He said it to Paraguayan media. And he talked about how where they struggled with that game was matching the intensity of the U.S. And he said, if you can't match what they do intensity-wise, you can't cope with the way that they're playing right now. That's a ton of credit to Mauricio Pochettino and what he has done with this team over the last 6 months, because we didn't see that out of the U.S. ahead of the Gold Cup. And Pochettino's talked about how that's been the turning point where this team started to believe that they could compete and win big games. They lost in the final of that tournament to Mexico. They lost a match to South Korea in the fall, but they are unbeaten in their last five, all against World Cup teams. The U.S. comes into this tournament in a really good spot. Now, here's the other element of today. We're going to get into lots of the other groups here as we go. The Atlanta connection to today. We will know tomorrow after 12 o'clock, after 12 noon. That's when FIFA, hopefully without any musical accompaniment, FIFA will give us the schedule for the games. They don't give it to us here, and it's smart on their point to do this because they want to get games in the right cities, in the right time zones to be able to maximize TV viewership all over the world. But here's what we know about the games that will come to Atlanta as we sit here just after 6 o'clock on Friday night. The first group stage game will be out of Spain's group. There will be two games out of this group. It will be either Spain and Cape Verde or Saudi Arabia and Uruguay. And then the third game in Atlanta will be either Spain, Saudi Arabia, or Uruguay, Cape Verde. I would not be surprised if we see Spain two games here in Atlanta, because then they could base here, they could play two games in the same spot. This could be their base camp. Spain, for me, is the favorite coming into this tournament. I wouldn't be shocked if you see Spain back-to-back times, because think about it. Those games would be on in prime time in Madrid, in Barcelona, in Valencia, if they play here at 3 o'clock Eastern time, under a roof and with air conditioning going. That becomes a very big deal for the European teams to get them into their prime time, but also make it a little bit more comfortable game. The second game in Atlanta, it will be South Africa, according to what we've all seen, because Mexico will keep their group stage games in Mexico in Group A. It'll be South Africa against the UEFA playoff winner between Czechia, Ireland, Denmark, and North Macedonia. Somebody send a note to Wayne Gretzky just in case he hasn't caught up to that one yet. Game four in Atlanta in the group stage could be Brazil or Scotland, Brazil versus Scotland, or Haiti, Morocco. Mike Conte had a really good point on social media. It would make a lot more sense to have Brazil, Scotland here and have Haiti playing in Miami, which is where the other game in that group stage will be that day. And in the last game of the group stage could be Colombia and Portugal, which will be a massive game and could decide who wins that group. Or it could be Uzbekistan against one of New Caledonia, Jamaica, or DR Congo. I'm crossing my fingers for Colombia and Portugal in that fifth group stage game. We'll talk about what the knockout pathways look like for Atlanta. We'll talk a little bit more about the U.S. group and other groups. World Cup draw recap special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Stay with us. We'll be back on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, special edition on a Friday night, getting you ready for Hawks basketball and recapping everything from the World Cup draw today. We'll see what group the Grinch might have been involved in. The Grinch might not be a fan of France. We'll get into that as we go. Second segment here, I want to kind of take you through each of the groups and give you a little bit of a baseline on what to expect, but I do want to finish what this tournament looks like for Atlanta when you get to the knockout rounds, because we know pathways for what knockout games could be coming to Atlanta. Now, we got to see how teams do in the tournament, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But round of 32, you're going to host the winner of Group L, which is England's group. England is a contender to win this entire tournament. They should win their group. They could be coming to Atlanta in the round of 32. Round of 16, we'll see the winner of Group J, which is Argentina's group. They should win their group because their group, they got one of the luckiest groups in the tournament. They should be coming to Atlanta if they went out and they come here in the round of 16. And then the semifinal is on Argentina's side of the bracket. The way FIFA set up the bracket is for Argentina on one side, if they win out, win every game and get here, and Spain on the other side, who is the FIFA-ranked number one team right now. If everything goes to chalk, it's a Spain-Argentina final. Argentina's semifinal would come through Atlanta. Now, let's go through these groups quickly and kind of the headlines of each one. We're going to go to Group A, which is one of the hosts, Mexico. They are drawn with South Africa, South Korea, and the winner of one of the UEFA playoff groups that will be Denmark, North Macedonia, Czechia, or the Republic of Ireland. Denmark is the highest ranked team in that. It's not an easy group for Mexico, but I think it is a manageable one. They should be able to deal with these teams. Remember, Mexico is going to play their group stage matches at home in Mexico, in either Guadalajara or in Mexico City. They're going to get a big advantage from that, playing at altitude, playing in heat. Mexico City, the air quality is not exactly great at times. They're going to be able to deal with that better than some other teams. They are getting two teams in South Korea and South Africa who I think will be able to handle the heat and some of the altitude issues. We'll see how Denmark does. Denmark collapsed in World Cup qualifying. That's why they have to go in the playoff round. Let's hear from the Seattle Sounders' Obed Vargas, who made the switch over from the U.S. men's national team pool to Mexico. And here's what his thoughts are on the draw for Mexico.
Draw. South Korea, we had played against them recently. I wasn't in the camp, but I thought the game was could have been won by any team. And I think playing that game in Mexico is going to be a big advantage for us. And then, yeah, South Africa, I said, is going to be the opening match of the World Cup, and just like it happened in 2010, but now it's going to be played in Mexico. So I think that's the biggest advantage that we have. I think all the opponents that we're going to face in the group stage are a very similar level of Mexico. And I think playing in at home is probably going to give us that slight advantage.
Mexico will be trying to get revenge for losing that World Cup opener in 2010 on the goal from Shabalala, one of the great calls in World Cup history, who beat Mexico that day. Mexico gets South Africa this time in Mexico City at the Estadio Azteca. Let's go to Group B. Canada got a really fortunate draw. They're the weakest team in Pot A. They get there because of the hosting rights that they get into it as a seeded team. They're going to get one of the UEFA playoff winners, which could be Italy, which makes the group a little trickier. Could be Northern Ireland, could be Wales, could be Bosnia and Herzegovina. Qatar and Switzerland round out the group. Here is Minnesota United goalkeeper and Canadian national team goalkeeper Dane St. Clair on his message to his Canadian fans.
Yeah, I was speaking to Richie Larea, who of course was there. Haven't heard anything from Jess yet, but I'm sure as things start to settle down there, we'll get a message to the team. But speaking with Richie, one of my closer friends on the team, we have a good relationship. So talking to him and seeing how he felt about it, I feel like we felt pretty similar in terms of how our group went. And for us, it's now rallying the whole country behind us. We're hosting a World Cup, and we know that we're going to need as many Canadians and as much support as we can, not only in the stadiums, but also supporting the team on the outside as well. And we know what it can do for our country and what this will mean for our country. And we're looking forward to pushing our country forward.
Hey, Dan, just a quick follow-up. Obviously, the fans, that'll be a main thing in the next upcoming matches. What's your message to them now that they're also anxious to see you guys in action against these teams in the group? What's your message to the fans? What can the fans expect? Obviously, there's a lot to process and a lot to prepare for, but what's some initial comments to the fans?
Yeah, I think we have a clear identity as we've shown in the past 2 years under Jesse, and we feel very comfortable in that role. So you know that we're going to play aggressive and fight for the badge and know what it means to be Canadian and to show that grit in that fight. But at the same time, we know that we have a lot of quality in our team as well, and we've been gritty at the back, but at the same time, we know that we can score goals even though we haven't necessarily scored as much as maybe we would have liked. But the strong defensive performances, we know, can be crucial for a tournament style. So we're looking forward to that moment and just to come out and support us. And of course, the closer we get, the buzz will come more. But the games leading up to it, we want to obviously sell out and have the support and to just truly feel Canadian, whether it's someone's first time watching soccer or whether they've been a lifelong fan of us or the team.
That was Dane St. Clair, Canadian national team goalkeeper, Minnesota United goalkeeper as well. Canada will play their group stage matches in Toronto and in Vancouver with 8 third-place teams out of 12 also advancing to the knockout rounds. That does change the paradigm a little bit for who we expect to get out of the group and who we think might have a short run in the World Cup. I think that's a very forgiving format, and I think Canada will benefit from it. I don't know if they win their group. A lot of it comes down to who wins that UEFA playoff round. But I do think they can be at least one of the best third-place teams. I think at a minimum, you're going to need to win a game in the group stage to get to the next round. If you win a game, you're probably going to be one of the best third-place teams. If you get 3 points on the board and you don't get blown out in any of the other two games, you should get to the knockout round. Let's go to Group C. Brazil headlines it. Morocco, I thought, was the danger team out of the second pot of teams. That was the one I did not want to see. Brazil and Morocco don't like that they're in the same group, but they do like that they're in a group with Haiti and Scotland. It's somewhat comfortable for Brazil and Morocco to get through. Now, Brazil will want to win the group because of the advantages it gives you when you get into the knockout rounds. But Morocco, a semifinalist last time around, I think Morocco is the better team. I think Morocco is a more complete team. Brazil has been very inconsistent so far under Carlo Ancelotti. We don't know if Neymar is going to be healthy enough to contribute to this team at all. Vinicius Jr. has been embroiled in a back and forth with his manager at Real Madrid, and he might be on his way to Saudi Arabia or somewhere else if they can pay him a lot of money. That's a lot of distractions for a team that is always going to be part of the favorites group, but I think Morocco might be the better overall team, and I would go with Morocco to win that group. We talked about the U.S. group. We'll come back to them for a little bit more in the last segment of the show tonight, but let's go to Group E. Germany. Very favorable group draw for them, along with Curacao, Cote d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast, and Ecuador. I think Ecuador will push Germany. I do. I think Ecuador will benefit from playing games in this hemisphere. They're going to be able to deal with the heat better than a lot of teams. It's a really good young team, Ecuador. They're very good defensively. They finished second in South American World Cup qualifying, a good bit ahead of Brazil, for that matter. Ivory Coast is always one of the most talented teams in a tournament, but they've never been able to put it together in a World Cup. Curaçao's a wild card, you know, and we know Andrew Jones and some of his former Braves teammates are going to be rooting Curaçao on. They have a very heavy Dutch contingent in that team, but are they good enough to get out of this group? I don't think they will. I think Ecuador will push Germany, but Germany should win that group. Group F is one of them that I could see the top-seeded team not winning the group. The top-seeded team is the Dutch. Japan will absolutely push them. The UEFA playoff team in Group F could be one of Ukraine, Sweden, Poland, or Albania. Maybe the most difficult of the UEFA playoff groups to call. Tunisia rounds out the group, and they're not a pushover either. Group F is a really difficult group. I could see Japan knocking off the Netherlands. This is a Dutch team right now that is very defensive, really focused on the counter. They're still relying on Memphis Depay to score a lot of goals. He's playing in the Brazilian league now. And I don't know if they hold up in the conditions that they're going to have to face. They're going to have to play in temperatures that are going to be around 100 degrees. You're already hearing some European managers talk about keeping their substitutes in the locker room for the first half because of the heat. That feels like it's already starting to get in their head. We'll see if the Dutch are going to be one of those. I think the Dutch are going to struggle in this group. I think Japan, with how good they are on the counterattack, I think Japan will win that group. Group G, Belgium was fortunate. I thought Belgium was the weakest of the non-host seeded teams in the first pot of teams. Belgium is in a group with Egypt, Iran, and New Zealand. A lot of older legs in that group that are going to be relied upon. Heat will play a role in it, but I think Belgium has enough quality to ultimately win that group. I just don't know if Mo Salah can dial it up one more time for Egypt to get out of that group to be dangerous. Iran doesn't have that top-end talent, in my opinion, and New Zealand's going to struggle across the board. Spain, I said it before, they're my favorite to win the entire thing. They're in a group with Cape Verde, with Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay. Spain should be just fine to win that group. My bold prediction that I made earlier today at the Brewhouse Cafe is that I think Cape Verde is going to get out of the group. It might be as a third-place team. They are a very good defensive team, and I think that's going to help them. They're going to find a result, at least one that they need. They're going to get out of the group, and they're going to go to the knockout round. Group I is the default group of death in this year's World Cup. France, Senegal, Norway, and then one of the intercontinental playoff teams, Iraq, Bolivia, or Suriname. Whoever comes out of that is going to get beat up in this group. Norway could win the group. Senegal could take points off of France like they did in 2002. I don't know if France is a shoe-in to win the group. France has been to the last two World Cup finals. They are outstanding. They have maybe the most talented roster. Norway has the best attacker in the world in Erling Haaland. I still think France is going to get it done. I do think they'll win the group. I think Norway will come in second, but France is going to have to work for it. Argentina in Group J will not. They are in a very comfortable group with Algeria, Austria, Jordan. Argentina wins it. Everybody else is playing for second. Group K, Portugal, an intercontinental playoff team, either DR Congo, Jamaica, or New Caledonia. They're going to struggle. Uzbekistan's going to struggle. Colombia could knock off Portugal to win that group. And then Group L's England, Croatia, really a big separation between those two to get back to Ghana and Panama. Croatia could possibly challenge England for the group win. I think England's got enough talent to do it. Croatia's top players a little bit older. But there's about half of the number one seeds in each group that I could see not winning their group. It's going to be a fun ride between now and next summer as we start to speculate and pontificate and get ready for World Cup 2026. When we come back on the other side of the break, a little more on the U.S. route and the Atlanta route for next summer in the FIFA World Cup. It's a special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to a special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Usually find me, I'm Jason Longshore, on Tuesday nights for Atlanta Soccer Tonight, but a special one to get you ready for the World Cup 2026 after today's draw. Now, we'll get the schedule tomorrow after 12 noon. We'll find out definitely what games are coming to Atlanta. But kind of recapping some of the headlines in what we learned today. Let's start with the U.S. men's national team. I really like this group for the U.S. I think they are the odds-on favorite to win the group, along with Paraguay, Australia, and one of the European playoff winners, which could be Turkey, Slovakia, Kosovo, or Romania. I think it'll be Turkey. The U.S. is the favorite that's been installed by some of your favorite sites out there that partake in juice boxes. I think Paraguay is probably the second best team in this group, and the U.S. just beat them recently. The U.S. just beat Australia recently. The U.S. should come into this group with a lot of optimism, a lot of confidence, and I think with the talent that is being developed in this team right now, and you're going to hear from one of those players here in just a second, this is a team that should be looking at not just getting out of the group, but potentially winning the group, and then making some moves in the knockout tournament that will be 32 teams. Let's hear from Orlando City defender Alex Freeman, one of the real up-and-coming players in this group, on how Major League Soccer has helped him grow as a player.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, MLS has helped me a lot. You know, I feel like it's given me the confidence, you know, maybe that I didn't have before. Being able to come this year, be able to play a lot, get a lot of minutes, be able to just get used to the style, you know, and get used to being able to play around some players that are going to be in the World Cup, be able to regular fitness in the highest level, you know. And I think I just helped me going into an athlete team, but, you know, you need that confidence, you know. I didn't go into a national team and being able to be coached by Pochettino and maybe I'm in a different system. But, you know, have the confidence and have the availability to be able to, you know, switch and be able to, you know, be different. You know, I think for me it's hard, you know. I've been playing a lot of different positions for Orlando and national team. You know, just being able to be dynamic, you know, in those roles, be able to play, you know, more defensive or even go attack. So, you know, I think Orlando and Malicious give me that confidence to be able to go to national team and try to perform my best.
Alex Freeman gives Maurizio Pochettino and this U.S. men's national team a little bit of a Swiss Army knife in the way that they want to structure defensively. We've seen Pochettino play three center backs as of late, but that doesn't mean they're all going to sit back deep. Freeman can play one of those center back roles. He typically plays as a fullback on the right side for Orlando City. But with his athleticism, with his ability getting forward, but also his size and ability to defend crosses, the son of the legendary receiver Antonio Freeman, Alex Freeman, could be the breakout star for the U.S. next summer. You don't often get that with defenders. I think Freeman could be that guy, and I think he could be one of the most important players for the U.S. as they go into this group where they will be favored against Paraguay, Australia, and probably Turkey. Now, one other thing to keep in mind with the Atlanta portion of the schedule when you get to the knockouts, the round of 16 match in Atlanta will involve the winner of Group J, which should be Argentina, and they should get past their round of 32 match. They will likely play Uruguay in that if things, again, go to chalk. If the U.S. finishes second in their group, let's say they slip up somewhere along the way and they finish second, there's a very good chance that the U.S. could be looking at a knockout round game in the round of 32 against Iran, which would be a political minefield. And then if the U.S. wins that and they would be favored, they could be coming to Atlanta. If they come in second in the group and win their round of 32 game, they would be coming to Atlanta to probably play Argentina in a round of 16 game. Some of the storylines in this tournament that we get with 48 teams are just really cool to dig into. One of those is Cape Verde, one of the smallest nations to ever make the World Cup. Cape Verde, Iceland back in 2018, Curaçao qualified this time. A tiny country, they've really remade their program with bringing in players who have heritage from Cape Verde, a lot of Portuguese heritage in Cape Verde, but not purely exclusively. And the man you're going to hear from next is one of those not quite exclusively, Pico Lopez, who has become a stalwart at the back. This is a Cape Verde team that became very good defensively to get out of a very difficult African group in World Cup qualifying. They have become one of the better teams in Africa over this last cycle. Here is Pico Lopez, who was at an award celebration in Ireland, on how the draw played out for him and his reaction to things as they got into pot four where Cape Verde would be drawn. He had a chance to catch up with our friend John Nelson earlier today. Here's Pico Lopez.
Yeah, not all good. Quite calm. And plus, I was excited to see who we get. I think being the last sort of pot, you see how the groups are shaping up and you know you can't face another African team. So you're sort of narrowing down to where you could be this pot. I know it was Spain, Portugal, and England were still available, which were some tasty toys. And the group we got was absolutely amazing.
All right, so let's look at Group H: Spain, Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay. What is the instant Pico Lopez analysis of this group with Cabo Verde in it?
Yeah, it's exactly what we wanted. I think speaking together as a group of players, we wanted a big name in our group. As I say, you work so hard to get to the World Cup. You want to play some against the biggest teams in the world, the biggest names. And I think there's very few bigger than Spain. Uruguay have a fabulous history, previous winners of the World Cup as well. And the South American fans are great at football events. And Saudi Arabia have a really interesting project going at the moment. So, look, it's an exciting group and it's one we're really happy to be part of.
If you just look at the size of the country, you would discount Cabo Verde. I think this is a team that can get into the knockout rounds. I really do. I think with the way that they defend, they're going to be able to be in that spot. I think the tournament almost flips, though, when you get to the knockout rounds as we wrap up this edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Being a good defensive team, and if you're a Cabo Verde, if you're in Uzbekistan here for the first time, if you're Jordan, if you're some of the smaller countries in this tournament, you're going to try to play very defensively and try to ride that out, hit on a counter, hit on a set piece, steal a win, get out of the group stage that way. fine. That can get you through a group stage. Defense over the course of a season, over the course of three games in this kind of situation, it can get you through. But when you get to the knockout rounds, you've got to have match winners. You've got to have players who can go out and win a game for you with that individual attacking ability. It's very rare that you see purely defensive teams win these kinds of tournaments. You're going back to really Greece in 2004 in the Euros. Italy in 2006 was not purely defensive, although they were a very good defensive team. You've got to have game changers. I think that's where you'll see some teams get found out when you get into the knockout rounds. And that's why I have five teams that are capable of winning the World Cup next summer. And it's the top five seeds in the FIFA rankings. I think the rankings are actually correct in this case. Brazil is five purely because of the incredible individual talent that they have. I think they're dysfunctional. I'm not expecting them to get there. But when you have somebody like Vinicius Jr., when you have somebody like Stevão, who is playing at Chelsea, 18 years old, becoming a top talent, Brazil's going to be in the mix. They can go deep. England has individual game changers, match winners. Harry Kane, one of the best attackers in the world. Cole Palmer is turning into one of the best attacking players, both scoring and creating in the world. I think England, along with Bukayo Saka and a lot of other good players, I think England can get there and can be part of your final four. France has the most talent, in my opinion. But at times, the French national team can be a little dysfunctional. They don't always get along very well. And there's already some rumblings and some rumors in the French media about maybe some jealousy issues with Kylian Mbappe. Mbappe could set the all-time World Cup scoring record in this tournament, and he's still very, very young. France will be a contender, although their group is a little more difficult than you might expect. Argentina is the defending champions. It's hard to knock off the defending champions, but they are 4 years older and they haven't incorporated a whole lot of new young talent. Maybe Thiago Almada becomes a bigger player for this group, someone that we know well here in Atlanta. Maybe Julian Alvarez takes that step forward, Enzo Fernandez. But you're still looking to Lionel Messi to carry the load. And that brings me to the team that I do think is going to win the World Cup next summer, and it's Spain. Lamine Yamal, incredible. Nico Williams on the other wing, incredible. Pedri, Gavi, as long as they get healthy, you've got a midfield that can go get this done for you. Spain is my favorite going into the World Cup, but we're going to find out how all of this goes together. Come back on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. Join me on another edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Hopefully you've enjoyed this one as a precursor to a little Hawks basketball tonight from State Farm Arena. We're going to send it there here shortly. Thank you for spending some time with us all day long on 92.9 The Game, recapping the World Cup draw. Adios, everybody.